Good morning. It is good to see you all here. Now, I've titled this message, Avoiding Temptation. And I've been thinking about this. You can't avoid temptation, so I've changed the name to How to Overcome Temptation. I thought, you know, that to me would sell a lot better. So 1 Corinthians 10:13, and if you're able, I'd like to ask you to please stand as I read from God's Word. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Oh, I love that. God is faithful. Who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are truly thankful, God, that you do give us the power to overcome temptation. But Father, we always have to realize we cannot lean on ourselves and we cannot trust in our own power or we will fall flat on our face. But God, in every instance of life, Father, let us turn everything over to you, submit and surrender to your will and authority. And God, knowing that you will lead and guide us and you will help us to overcome temptation. Lord, help us to draw from your word exactly what we need for our each and every individual heart and life today, Father. And Father, speak to those areas and move in the areas of our lives so that we can grow more in wisdom in you, Father. Now as I preach this message, let every word come from you, Father, through your Holy Spirit, and nothing of my own words or nothing from my flesh, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now, I'm going to read this, and I want everybody to take a deep breath in and just exhale and feel lighter and freer than when you walked in, because every single Christian person faces temptation. But God provides the strength and the way to overcome it. So I want you to know this. You are not alone. A lot of times we get to thinking, you know what? I'm the only one who's going through this difficult moment in my life. But no, every single one of us will face temptations. Temptation is common to every Christian. Being tempted is not the same as sinning, because we know, according to the Bible, that Jesus was tempted many times, but according to Hebrews 4:15, Jesus never sinned. Jesus always spoke the word, and he always turned back to the Father. The question is not whether we will be tempted, but when we are, how will we respond? So the reality of temptation, and I want to read to you from James real quick. I'm going to try to, here we go. James chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So, temptation is basically a part of a fallen living world, the fallen world that we live in. We know temptation first happened in the Garden of Eden. Satan tempted Eve. He twisted God's words. He got into her, basically got into her head and had her believing total opposite, leading to the fall of the world. And a lot of times temptation happens because there are things of this world that appeal to our own desires. Now, when I talk about temptation, I'm not talking about like when you make a New Year's resolution and you're sitting there on January 1st and you say, I make a New Year's resolution not to eat any more desserts. And then you walk by the freezer and you think, well, there's a quart of ice cream in there. And then all of a sudden, that's not the temptation I'm talking about. The temptation I'm talking about is in the Christian life that we live. Satan is after each and every one of us because, number one, he wants to destroy us. He wants to twist everything that we hear about God's Word. If he can get us to believe his twisted ways, and if he can get us living in ways that are separated from God and apart from his love and protection, and then he wants to see the church fall. And one of the biggest things that I can see in churches today is the temptation. There's temptations in church where people like to fight and bicker. And you're going, whoa, really? But it does happen. Satan does not want the church to ever succeed. He wants to see as many chairs empty. Actually, Satan would like to see every door closed on any church house that he can. And I'll tell you what, it's sad to drive by certain churches that I knew that were functioning for many years and had a lot of people in them, but because temptation, because the enemy. Now, let me back up a little bit, a couple steps. Temptation does come from the devil, but you know where else temptation comes from as well? Something that we drum up in our own mind. A lot of times we'll blame Satan for everything, but a lot of times we need to point the finger at ourselves because we get something, we get a thought, and I just read it to you out of James. It starts off as a little thought, being enticed. And I'll tell you this, now this goes back to high school when I first started to notice girls. I mean, here I was a young man, and I'm telling you what, the first pretty girl walked down the hallway, I would go, whoo, man, she's good looking. But, of course, I wasn't a Christian, so other thoughts, and this is being human, other thoughts would start to take place, and I was totally unaware of what was going on in my life. But as a Christian, we have to be careful when these kind of thoughts come into our mind. We have to recognize that the enemy is behind it. We also have to recognize that the things that come from within us, we have to stop them in their tracks at that moment before it goes any farther. Now, I walked into a church one time, And I was listening to a man preach the sermon, and this man, well, you know what, I'm not even going, that's water under the bridge. I'm not even going to go there, so I apologize for that. I don't want to go meddling into something. But anyway, if we are entertained, temptation can lead to sin, and then sin will lead to death. So, the little thought, if we act on the little thought, just like the little skit that I did a few weeks ago with the box of sin, well, it wasn't a box up here, but just knowing that if we take a little bit of sin and if we just even play with it, it has deadly consequences. It can latch onto your life and it can literally rob you of the joy and the fellowship and laughter. It can rob your health of so many things. It can corrupt relationships within the church because, like I said, the devil wants to see every Christian life fall. He doesn't want a single one of us to get close to the Lord. But if we resist the devil, if we submit ourselves, as it says in James, the Bible says, therefore, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So, as Jesus was tempted, you and I will be tempted in the same way. But here's the thing. When the Bible says to study to show thyself approved, it's basically meaning that if we take and read the Word of God, and if we practice it, if we speak it, If we get it down deep inside of us, when temptation happens, if you know what God's Word says, you can speak God's Word because you know the truth of it. You know the power of His Word, because when God's Word is spoken, it does produce results. And we know that God's Word produces results because everything that He created, you know how God did it? He spoke it. And we know that there is power in the spoken Word of the Lord. So you and I as Christians, we have to take it immediately and we have to put a stop to it. We have to be like Jesus. We have to apply the Word. And there are times maybe that we're going to go through situations of temptation that are really going to shake our world up, and we're going to have to get on our knees and we're going to have to ask the Lord to give us the power and the might to overcome things. And we know that if we keep letting temptations get into our life, we know that it becomes sin. And sometimes we get so blinded by the devil's lies, we often think that, well, hey, the sin's okay. There, nothing bad has happened yet. Anybody ever been there, or you know of somebody like that? They're living in sin, but here there's what they're saying. Well, I feel okay, and nothing bad's taken place yet, so I must be all right. They have been fooled. They have been led astray. They're believing a lie from the pit of hell, and they're continuing to go on. And if we continue to live in sin, that sin will eventually bring death. And we know what sin also does. It's sin separates us from God. Now, I don't know if I've told you this or not. If I have, I'll tell you again real quick. When I first started preaching, I was still smoking cigarettes. And I was still hooked on them. And I didn't want to quit. I'm not judging nobody, but I saw with my eyes, I saw deacons after Sunday school out back behind the garage of the church smoking. And I thought, well, it must be okay. If they're doing it, I can do it too. And so I continued on believing that being a preacher, traveling, if people didn't know it, it must be okay. And so I wouldn't smoke anything that morning. And after church, I would take a backcountry road and I'd have one cigarette lit and ready, and I'd have another one in hand ready to go. And I was trying to hide it from people. Now, does that sound like somebody who's really walking straight with the Lord? Absolutely not. Does that sound like somebody who's been fooled by the enemy? Yes. Does that sound like somebody who cared? I sure didn't care at that time. But finally, it dawned upon me one day when I started to ask myself the questions. Is what I'm doing, is it pleasing to the Lord? I mean, this is His temple, and I was destroying it with a cancer-causing agent. So I had to look at my heart and my life, and I decided then and there that they did not have a place in my life because I didn't want to carry that burden with me. And I want you to know today, there are things that you may be caught up in, and here's the things. Things you watch on TV, things that you see online, conversations that you get involved with. Sometimes we think we're justified in what we're doing, but what we're actually doing is we're sliding down a quick, greased slide, and we're literally paving our way into eternal destruction. So temptation, it begins in the heart before it appears in our actions. So basically, if you're tempted to gossip, if you're tempted to start a fight with somebody, or someone says good morning to you and you're not in a good mood and you want to bite their head off, that temptation is there. Or if you need to witness to somebody and the devil puts a temptation, he brings something in your path that draws your attention away from witnessing. If he can do that very thing and you get involved with it, it will take root in your life and it will literally destroy you from the inside out. I heard a story one time of a rich man who, that's all he ever wanted. He wanted to own his own business. He wanted to have all the money in the world. He wanted to have a big house and fancy cars. He wanted a gorgeous wife and smart children. And the man literally got every single thing he wanted, but he lived a life of corruption to get what he got. And one day the man sat around and he looked at everything he had. He could have retired. He didn't have to work anymore. He had more money than he knew what to do with. But inside of himself, there was absolutely no peace. He was unhappy. As he looked at his life, he wanted his life to be over because there was no meaning to it. And I want you to know this. Jesus said, I have come that you would have life and that you would have it abundantly. So don't trust in the things of this world. Don't trust these temptations. What you need to trust and rely on is the promises of God's Word, and we need to live by that Word. We need to plant that deep in our hearts and lives. We need to let that take root and grow, because I'll tell you what, if you have a church that is on fire for the Lord, if you have a church that is growing in Christ, people will know it and people will see it. And I may have said this in the past, but I've had people come up to me and they ask me, well, where are you a pastor at? And I said, Boscadale Baptist Church. And they would say to me, oh, one guy said, well, I went there as a boy. And I remember the love in that church. And other people around the area that I talked to, and everybody says, well, we know Laura and Sarah. And people say, I love going into her store. And people say, oh, I remember when so-and-so died in my family. See, that's what it's all about. If we stick close to God and get away from the temptations, we will walk a life that's worthy of what He's called us to do. Now, Jesus is our example. When Jesus was tempted, He depended on God's Word. He depended on His prayer time. He depended on His relationship with the Father. He wasn't worried about who He was buddied up with on the face of the earth. And too many times, we want to get ourselves in that boat. We often identify by our job. We often identify by who we know. Now, I'll say when I was younger, I used to think it was cool if I got to know or meet somebody important. I'd say, well, I met so-and-so. I used to think that was the big way to live. But you know what? I'm really happy to tell people I'm a child of the living God. And I'll tell you, there ain't nobody greater and nobody more important than knowing Him. He's my best friend. Jesus refused shortcuts, which means He didn't take the ways of the world to help Him get through life. It won't help us either. Jesus remained obedient to our Heavenly Father. And that's what God is expecting out of us today. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Now, Jesus had Himself prepared and ready every single day. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18, if you go and read it yourself, it talks about putting on the full armor of God. And I'm not going to stand up here and go through every little piece of it. I've done that before. But we should have ourselves protected with the armor of God, because you're in a battle. It's not a flesh and blood battle. It's a battle against spiritual things. It's against principalities. It's against the things of darkness. That's what our battle is. It's not against human people. So we have to put on the spiritual armor of God. We have to protect our minds. We have to protect our eyes, our hearts. We have to be careful what we say. But if we are protected and in that armor, then we will walk worthy of the Lord. Jesus resisted the devil until the temptation ended. I tell you what, temptation's not going to leave you alone. It's always going to be there. The devil's always going to be there to trip you up in some way, form, or fashion. But here's where it starts. It's up for you and I, or it's up to you and I, to say, I stand in the presence of God my Father. I am protected by a heavenly host of angels. And the blood of Jesus that was shed on Calvary's cross, it covers me. It has cleansed me and made me whole. I have a supernatural power from heaven that enables me to do every day what I have to do. So when that temptation comes, you stand firm and you resist that temptation. You resist the enemy and you turn to God. And I promise you that God will be at your side and He will come to your rescue. Scripture is one of our greatest weapons against temptation. If you speak the Word of God, things will happen. Practical ways to resist temptation: staying in God's Word, praying consistently. That's where the Bible says, pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean drive down the interstate at 65 miles an hour and bow your head and close your eyes when you pray. You can pray while you're driving. I mean, when I go to work, there's a lot of days that I sing or I pray. And I used to, now when someone would get up alongside of me, I'd quit because I didn't want them to think I was crazy. What's that guy doing talking to himself in his vehicle for? Well, I don't care anymore. I just get in the car. And wherever I'm going, when I get out of the vehicle, I almost could hear the heavenly host singing with me. I can always feel the power and the presence of the Lord around me. And there, it's like a force field, and it's holding back the powers of darkness. Now, when I was with Energy Police Department, I worked with a bunch of non-Christian people. And one night, one of the sergeants asked me, they all knew I was a pastor, and I lived it in front of them. And they used to kid me and say, well, they'd say, Father, can we have confession time tonight? But I told them, I said, well, I'm not Catholic, so I can't do that for you. But anyway, one night this sergeant asked me, he said, what time are you going home tonight? And I said, well, I plan on being done at 2 a.m. And he goes, well, and I said, well, why'd you ask? He said, well, I'm not saying anything bad about you, but he said, every time I look at you, he said, it's like I see this white cloud around you. And he said, nothing ever happens when you're on shift. He said, I want some kind of action tonight. So he said, will you please go home early? Because I'm off at 3 a.m. and I want to at least make one arrest. Now, this is a guy who's living in sin. And I'm not saying that to put myself off. But if you're living for the Lord, then the sinful people in the world will see that. So if you're putting on the armor, if you are a mature believer and you're walking daily in the Holy Spirit, people will look at your life and they will see the protection of God that's all around you. And I tell you what, a lot of instances in my life, I wonder why I'm still alive. It's because God was protecting me from my own ignorance. hope after failure. Even faithful believers can fall. I want to say this. It doesn't matter how close you've walked with God, how often you spoke His Word. One time, one little thing can cause a Christian to crumble and fall. But that doesn't mean that they're a horrible person, because everybody at some point will fall. Everybody will fail. God knew that. That's why we have His grace and mercy. But let me say this. Just because we have His grace and mercy, it doesn't give us a green card to live how we want to live and say, oh, I'll pray and ask for forgiveness later. That's one of the biggest lies of the devil right there. But when we fall, if we do fall, that's where we need to look back and say, wow, here's where I fell short, and here's the steps I need to take not to repeat that again. I tell you, I mess up every day. I'm not going to point fingers and ask each and every one of you to say how much you mess up, because that's between you and God. That's nobody else's business. So I fail every day. In some way, I fail to be obedient in all things of Christ. Sometimes I let things get too busy in life and I don't do what should be done, but I always know I can go to God and say, Lord, help me to grow in this area of my life so I don't fall back in that foxhole again. But I'll tell you this, if you have genuine repentance, it brings forgiveness and restoration. So when you do fall, don't say, well, I'm a failure. Well, I messed up. I'm not a good Christian. I might as well quit trying to live it. I never do good enough. I always fall short. That has been one of my worst pity parties. I get to trust in my own ways sometimes, and then I start carrying loads, and as I carry those loads and I don't give them to God, then I find myself going, well, I'm not a good Christian. I'm not a good pastor. I'm not this. I'm not that. Well, it's just not even worth living for it sometimes. I ought to just go. Does that sound familiar to anybody? I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but does that sound familiar? If that kind of resounds in your heart, it happens literally to everybody. But God will restore us if we repent and ask for forgiveness. But that means you have to walk in obedience and you have to really try hard. And I've heard people say this, well, I just don't have it in me. Well, you're not going to have it in you if you lean on your own understanding. That's why the Lord tells us, lean not on your own understanding, but in how many ways? All of your ways, acknowledge Him. So when you feel weak, hey, God, I can't handle this. I can't do it. I need you. That ought to be our petition before the Lord every day. I can't do this. I need you. We need to all swallow our pride and quit believing that we can do everything, because we can't. God's grace is greater than our failures. I want you to sometime. Oh, let me say that failure does not define your future. Now, I'd like to add, here's some homework. Now, there's not a quiz next week, so don't worry. You can breathe easy. Go home and Google the life history of Colonel Harlan Sanders. That's the man who founded Kentucky Fried Chicken. Go home and Google that. And I want you to read about that man's life and everything he went through. I ain't going to say no more, but please do that. Read about the founder of Kentucky Fried Chicken and what led to his being successful. God restores those who sincerely repent. And that means you know deep in your heart that you messed up. And the last thing we need is somebody to come along and kick us in the teeth when we already feel bad enough. It's not up to me if Eugene falls, it's not up to me to go point the finger at him and say, "Well, boy, Eugene, you ought to feel bad for that." Well, golly, I wouldn't have even got out of bed knowing you said that. Golly. Well, can't you be a better... It's not up to me to do that to Eugene. But what it is, it's for me as a Christian, if he's going through something, it should be for me to be there to lift him up in prayer and to counsel with him if he needed it, but to love him through it. See, that's what the Lord's called us to do. Love one another. If we love God, we'll love one another. And if we walk in the calling that He's placed on each and every one of our lives, and if we stay clothed in the armor, that right there, my friends, that is the key to overcome temptation. It'll always be at your door, but you keep the door closed to it, and you take the other door that the Lord has open, and you step into His goodness, and you walk in His mercy and grace, and you'll see your life come to great victory. And you know what? This is only a short time that we're on the face of this earth, and God's given us a great power to live by, but won't it be great? No, I shouldn't say won't it. It will be great when we get to heaven and we stand before the Lord and the Lord says, I know what He'll say to Effie, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." When Effie stands before Him, when Jim Cooper stands before Him, I want Him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." And when we do, we can lay down the cross. We can take up what He is wanting to give to us. But that I when I lay my cross down, I want to run and fall at the feet of Jesus. Because if it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't be where I am today.